One of the difficult things that I find at seasons like Christmas is trying to figure out what to share that you haven't already heard 100 times before. Christmas is a wonderful season of the year, and there are great themes, but it's the same story, and so I'm never quite sure what to do, especially after having been here for 16 years, and, you know, Christmas has come and go. But I want to do something, actually, it's a bit of a repeat from a number of years ago, but quite a few years ago, Back to the Bible put out a series of little audio presentations called The 12 Voices of Christmas. Looking at Christmas from the perspective of, you know, the shepherds and the angels and Mary and Simeon and Zechariah and Elizabeth and so on. And several years ago, it's about 10 or 12 years now, that I looked at a few of those, and we kind of went through some of them. And I want to, this week and next week, pick that up again. And we're going to look at Mary, the voice of wonder today, and next week, Joseph, the voice of reason. And we're going to, in just a moment or so, we're going to listen to the audio of Mary, the voice of wonder. And then I want to share some thoughts that come, a lot of it comes directly from another source. This is a little booklet from, was Radio Bible Class, our Daily Bread Ministries. Mary and Joseph Reflecting on the Wonder of Christmas, that I've had around for many years as well. And so some of what you're going to hear this morning comes straight out of this, but sometimes with a bit of adjustment to suit my own style. But anyway, let's first of all listen to the audio of Mary, the voice of wonder.
What happened to others leading up to that first Christmas may have been miraculous, but what happened to me was completely unique. I am Mary. It began with the wonder of the angel. My father was in the field and my mother had gone to market. I was mending clothes and, I admit, I was daydreaming about Joseph, the man I had been betrothed to Mary. Suddenly, I was startled. I looked to the doorway, and there stood a stranger. I thought he must be seeking my father. I would have told him to go. But he stepped through the door and spoke to me. "Hail, woman richly blessed. The Lord is with you." Who was this? What did he want? He didn't seem dangerous in a threatening way, but neither did he seem altogether safe. He was quite different. Then I realized this was an angel. But what did he mean by calling me a highly favored one? My family was not special. We were poor, humble people. We lived in Nazareth, not Jerusalem. Everyone from Nazareth was considered to be, well, something of a hick. The angel didn't leave me time to think. He continued, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus." The angel then foretold that this son would be the Son of the Most High, and that God would give him the throne of King David, and that he would be an eternal king, reigning forever. Were all the old prophecies coming true at once? I had often heard the scriptures read in the synagogue, and many times I had listened as my father talked with other men in the village about the coming Son of David. One time, a traveling rabbi had taught in the synagogue all the promises of Messiah, and our family did trace its ancestry to David. Could I be living in the time when these things would come to pass? But how could any son of mine ever reign on the throne of David? The throne of David descended through the line of Solomon, while my family tree goes back to David through his son Nathan, who was never king of Israel. So if my son were to sit on David's throne, that right would legally have to come through another family. Then I thought of Joseph, the man to whom I would be married. He was a descendant to David through Solomon. Would he be the father? But what the angel said didn't make me think this baby was coming from Joseph. So I asked, how can this be, since I am a virgin? I think Gabriel almost smiled. I wondered about that later. I finally came to believe that he was amused that I would have a problem with such a small detail. You don't think this is funny? My father used to laugh at a story about the man who met God on the road from Jericho. God told him that he would give his horse wings to fly and turn all the flour in his cart to gold, but the man refused, saying, "My wife could never bake bread from gold." Here, I had been told that God was going to break into history and set up a king on the throne of David who would be his very son and rule forever. Surely the greatest marvel of all time. And all I could do was wonder how I could get pregnant. But even that detail was a wonder beyond understanding. The angel explained that the Holy Spirit would come over me in such a way that the power of God would encompass, embrace, enclose me, and in the shadow of his overarching Shekinah glory, I would become pregnant. What a wonder! Certainly the birth of Isaac to Abraham and Sarah in their old age had been miraculous, and the birth of John to Zacharias and my cousin Elizabeth was miraculous. But the birth of my baby was more than miraculous. It was also unique. He would be born in my virginity. He would be conceived without a human father. He would be human and divine. He would be the Son of God and the son of a humble Nazarene girl. I told the angel, "Be it done to me according to your word." You know the rest of my story. Everything Gabriel announced to me came true. I eventually did marry Joseph, but the marriage was not consummated until after Jesus was born. Even that first Christmas night, while I was cuddling my newborn baby in my arms, I raised my voice in wonder. There in the stable, we received a visit from some shepherds. They too had encountered an angel. In fact, a whole host of them. They were there to see my baby. When they left the stable, they were glorifying God and praising him for all they had seen and heard. They couldn't keep quiet. They told everyone that the Son of God had come, that the Messiah had arrived, that there was a Savior. I, on the other hand, was less demonstrative. Others were shouting and praising God for this Christmas night. But I kept all these things and pondered them in my heart and wondered. Yes, I remember that first Christmas, perhaps, better than anyone. I was so young and filled with wonder beyond my depth. But with each passing year, the wonder deepens still more. My song shall always be, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the humble state of his handmaiden." What a wonder.
One of the most haunting Christmas songs, I believe, that's out there is the... It's a simple tune. And the words say, "I wonder as I wander." It speaks of the mystery of the Christmas story, the miraculous intervention of God. That song tries to express in word and note how difficult it is for the human heart to understand what God chose to do and why he chose to do it. It says, "I wonder as I wander out under the sky how Jesus the Savior did come for to die for poor, ornery people like you and like I. I wonder as I wander out under the sky. I can't imagine a more appropriate word to describe that miracle, the miracle of Christmas, than the word wonder. Wonder speaks of omnipotence and omnipresence and creative power. Wonder speaks of God. I'm sure that's what George Beverly Shea had in mind when he wrote that song that says, "There's the wonder of sunset at evening, the wonder at sunrise I see, but the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me." Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Well, the wonder of God and the wonder of his love found its fullest expression in the coming of Jesus Christ on our behalf when he came at Christmas time. And I want to take just a few moments here to consider and look at the Christmas story again through the perspective of a young woman, Mary, who had more cause for wonder than any other person, I think, that was involved in the story. We begin by looking at the wonder of privilege. You know, a few years ago, we used to see ads on TV all the time for American Express credit cards that said, "Membership has its privileges." They promoted their credit card by appealing to that human desire for being select, elite, having an opportunity that others could only dream about. But some privileges are far more than just a special treat or a membership card. They carry with them the sense of amazement that you've been selected above all the rest. And I can't imagine what Mary felt when the angel Gabriel told her that she had been selected to be the mother, to give birth to the Christ child. See, the prophet Isaiah had told of how one day a virgin would conceive and give birth to a son who would be Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. Well, centuries came and went, and no Messiah arrived. And then the message came that the Messiah, the time for the Messiah to be born had come, and Mary was going to be his mother. Even in Gabriel's greeting, the wonder of privilege is clear as the angel appeared and spoke to Mary and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Well, Luke tells us that Mary was perplexed, and we heard that in the audio. She was confused. She was overwhelmed, even. What could he mean, favored one? And sensing her confusion, Gabriel explained it further. He said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." He said, "You have found favor with God." It meant that Mary was privileged. Talk about wonder. Amazingly, Mary understood the magnitude of what she had been chosen to do, and she accepted it with humility. Imagine the wonder in her heart, the wonder of privilege. Then there's the wonder of the pregnancy. The scriptures are mostly silent. They don't tell us much about the 9 months that Mary carried the incarnate Christ in her womb. We can make some assumptions based on what we know about life. And far be it from me to try to talk about what it's like to be pregnant. But I've observed it. That's all I can say. But it would have been a new experience for Mary, and she would have been feeling things she'd never felt before, and she had no frame of reference for what she was feeling, both physically and emotionally, going through those months of pregnancy and feeling the baby move for the first time and all of the things that women experience going through pregnancy, and especially a first pregnancy. It's all new and unique. And there must have been times when Mary perhaps doubted her own understanding. Did I really see an angel? Did it all really happen like I remember? Or are people right about what they're saying about me and my child? Until the wonder was affirmed. See, early in her pregnancy, at least we assume she was already pregnant, when she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth in the hill country, the Judean hill country, just a ways out of Jerusalem. Her cousin Elizabeth was elderly, but she was also pregnant with the baby who would grow up to be John the Baptist. And seeking safety and support, she sought out Elizabeth. They were two women who were separated by age, but connected by family. They were separated by miles, but they were connected by history. And both were the unlikeliest women to be pregnant. One was too old, and the other was a virgin. And on seeing Mary, Elizabeth declared, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Mary's affirmation of the child that she was carrying in her womb came from an unexpected source. It came from the unborn baby that had leaped in Elizabeth's womb at the sound of Mary's voice. And Mary's response to that, in what we sometimes call the Magnificat, shows the true sense of wonder that she felt at the privilege of her pregnancy. She said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Mary's sense of awe at this miraculous pregnancy is clear in her eloquent response of praise and worship and adoration and thanksgiving. The wonder of this divinely orchestrated pregnancy had grasped her heart, filling her with uninhibited wonder. Then there's the wonder of childbirth. When Mary was nearing the end of her pregnancy, she and Joseph began the long and arduous journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem to register in the imperial census, and we find that account in Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And then we read that Joseph also went up from Galilee, from Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem. And this is just one little piece in the overall wonder of the Christmas story. And yet, I find it amazing, and certainly not a small thing, to realize that in essence, the sovereign God who controls everything put the whole Roman Empire in motion in order to get Mary to where she needed to be when Jesus was born. Perhaps nothing short of an imperial order from Caesar himself would have made a woman nearing childbirth travel about 80 miles through the hill country on the back of a donkey. I can't imagine why she would do that, why they would do that, except that they were ordered to do so. It was a miracle. It was another wonder. Bethlehem, the home of Joseph's family and ancestors, and Mary's as well, the city of David, was a village located about 5 miles south of Jerusalem, not far from the foothills of the Judean desert. And on their arrival in Bethlehem, Mary and Joseph found the small community flooded with pilgrims who had come because of the census. The inn was full. It was groaning under the weight of overflow capacity. It was crowded. There was no place for the young couple to sleep, let alone give birth to a child. The city of David was without shelter for the young woman who was ready to deliver. But they found a shelter. They found a place of shelter in a simple stable, the place where the sheep were sheltered when they were birthing their lambs. And though it was primitive, it provided them shelter from the elements and the evening chill and some privacy from the mobs of people that were everywhere in and around Bethlehem. And so the stage was set for the most marvelous reality of all, that the Lamb of God would be born in a stable. Luke 2, 6 and 7, and while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. I'm struck by the simplicity of that statement. It's so understated, so matter of fact, that you could almost miss it if you blinked. There's so much that's left unsaid that you're compelled almost to read it again and again. That while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. A veil of silence is pulled over the young woman as she agonizes through childbirth. As I said, it's so simple, so understated. I've been there through the birth of 4 children. It's not that simple. And yet it's stated so simply. The shouts of joy are left unrecorded as Joseph, who apparently served as Mary's midwife on this occasion, delivers the baby and hands him to his mother. On one level, Mary must have experienced all of the wonderful emotions that are felt by every new mother as she held her child for the first time. But on another level, I wonder about some of the things that went through her mind. She must have been overwhelmed by the realization that this child that she cuddled and nursed was the Son of God, and by the thought of what this child had come to do, to rescue a lost race of people from their sins. There's a Christmas song that was written a few years ago by Mark Lowry. And I think it's one of the most thoughtful Christmas songs of the modern age that says, Mary, did you know? Did you know that your baby boy would grow up to be the Savior? Did you know? Did you realize when you kissed your sleeping baby that you kissed the face of God? What went through her mind that night is hard to imagine. Nothing in Mary's young life could have prepared her for all of this. She was a normal first century girl from an ordinary family living in an ordinary small town. And yet with wonder and obedience, she embraced the extraordinary implications of God's extraordinary plan for her life. And the wonder of her 9-month emotional roller coaster brought her to one simple response. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. Mary, in her own mind, was trying to understand all that was happening. Today, in our technology-driven world and culture, we would say that she was processing. She was processing the fulfillment of the promised Messiah. She was processing the culmination of the pregnancy, the journey from her home to Bethlehem, the surroundings in the stable. She was processing the struggle of childbirth, the visit by simple shepherds, and processing the wonder of God incarnate in her child. 2,000 years later, we are still processing, still caught up in the wonder. And again, that song that I mentioned at the beginning, "I Wonder as I Wander," puts it well. It says, "When Mary birthed Jesus, 'twas in a cow stall, with wise men and farmers and shepherds and all. But high from God's heaven, a star's light did fall, and the promise of ages it then did recall." That's it, the promise of the ages. That's really what it's about, the fulfillment of the promise. That's the wonder of Christmas, the wonder of it all. Father, we thank you for the wonder. Lord, the wonder of Christmas is that Jesus, the eternal Son of God, came to this earth, born through the womb of a young virgin girl of Nazareth, who must have wondered many times during those months what was happening to her and what was really going on in and for this world. Lord, may we never lose the wonder of Christmas. May we remember the wonder of Jesus' birth. Amen.